This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden on the air with the Charlie, of course. Hey.
Good morning, Frank.
Good. Is my mic working?
I just turned mine up. Your mic is working. Just keep cranking up your headphones, I think.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I left home about 5 o'clock this morning, a little after.
Because it was dark. Is it snowing?
It was likely, but it's not sticking around. Not sticking around. Had a fabulous night last night. Shirley's son John and daughter-in-law Jane and her 16-year-old granddaughter Carly in from Vancouver for a visit. Mm-hmm. And John took us all to see Bat Out of Hell last night the Mervish Theater.
It's a musical, right?
Oh, yeah. What a total fun evening. Oh, my God. And so the special effects were just amazing. Talent. I was blown away with the leads. They were everybody actually was all terrific.
Really?
There's some little dicey dialogue.
Oh, really?
That if you're a little shy of some of the big words.
Yeah.
just kind of keep that in mind, okay? As I recommend it, but it's on I think only till the 7th or something like that. So you better
over the holidays.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Somebody must be a big fan. What is that? Meatloaf.
John, son John is a big Meatloaf fan.
Right.
I only knew a couple of the songs, but boy, the crowd was into it. And that theater is so beautiful.
Yeah,
wonderful night.
Good.
But then we all headed home and
for an hour's sleep.
And I woke up at 5 o'clock and thought, okay, get up now, quick.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, today, Shirley is having, I don't know how many gals from her exercise class, 12,
Shirley.
14, whatever. They'll be coming over in about less than an hour. I think at 10 o'clock gets underway. And she wants to show off her tree. That's the main deal.
Well, let's talk about her tree in a minute. Let's tell people in case they'd like to phone us what numbers they could call.
You're absolutely right.
And
I forgot my job.
I know. And then it's okay. I'll be producer today. But I do want to talk about Shirley's tree because you've shown me pictures and it is very special.
Absolutely. Okay. Want to get in touch with Charlie, even say, hey, Merry Christmas by all means. Happy Hanukkah. 416-Chrismica. That's right.
Chrismica.
416-360-0740 in the Toronto area, and then anywhere in the province, it's toll free 1-866-740-4740.
It is Hanukkah right now, actually. I'm off to a Hanukkah brunch.
Are you?
Tomorrow.
Okie dokie.
So, yes, indeed. Yeah, it's Lutka time, right?
Yeah. Oh, I might mention my little job wasn't quite complete.
That's
there.
Correct.
If you're a first time caller, let Sebastian, our operator, know. And, that's what you're going to hear when you get to the airwaves. And little note to just make it one call per person.
One question.
One question.
Lots. You can make 50 calls.
Yeah, exactly.
But only one question per
one
call.
One question per call. That's it. Jeez, thanks for doing my job there, chum. We've only been doing this for 10 years. You think I'd have it down by now, wouldn't you?
No, you're still thinking about Meatloaf.
You're
going to start dancing and singing any minute, I think.
So. A little break.
And I have a few just updates what's going on in the city this weekend because obviously, it's beautiful, nice to be outside.
Things are quiet.
Catch the snow while we have it. I'm afraid it might melt.
Excellent. Okay. Moments from now, Charlie returns to the airwaves here as we broadcast live and direct from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And here we are once again in the broadcast studios of Zoomer Radio.
You know what? I'm just looking up.
What are you looking?
I know you were going to go somewhere, but I'm just going to interject something.
Okay, yeah.
Are we going to have a white Christmas?
Good question.
I don't know. Because I'm just looking it up here. They got all these maps, and they're talking about the West and the East and the current patterns and all this other stuff. So I don't have the answer to that question because there's too much
to the north. To the north.
Right now.
Yeah.
Snowing like crazy here in
just
Ontario.
Just a little bit south of Barrie, but north of, say, Newmarket area.
Yeah. There's a whole band of snow. A friend of mine lives out in Campbell Ford, and she's on her way into town, and she did send me a quick note this morning that they got a dump of snow, and they're out plowing before they can get out the driveway.
So,
heading into the city this morning. So, yeah, there is snow for sure. They're going to have snow, but I just wonder if we're going to have. It's not much here now.
No, a couple of centimeters, if that, really.
I'm a pretty big fan. Well, it's just like icy, dirty stuff out there now.
Yeah.
Here,
yeah.
Anyway, in the city.
Want a fresh new blanket of the snow.
Exactly.
Mother Nature, you're listening in?
Huh? Get on it.
And a good idea to just a little pre-warning, don't get in the car until you check whether you have that washer fluid.
Oh, yeah.
Because nothing worse than, say, coming down a 404.
And running out.
Yeah, and oh, man.
Well,
yeah,
don't get in the car until you've cleaned it off. That's one of my things.
Yeah.
I see people driving. They've made like a little tiny spot in the windshield.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a foot of snow everywhere else on the car. And it's like, oh, my God, clean your car.
Or she gets nasty. Now, when I was mentioning Shirley's Christmas tree, you said, oh, I want to mention something. You've discovered something, a neat little tip.
Well, you showed me some pictures. And, of course, Shirley's tree is, as just like Shirley, a little over the top. She's very much of a fan of Christmas, and I know she starts decorating, I think, in September. So she does a lot of beautiful decor, and the tree looks amazing. I think you mentioned it's got close to 2,000 lights on it, and it's only like a 7 or 8 foot tree. So she's got a lot going on in that tree. But I did hear an interesting tip for people that have artificial trees, which many people do, and like you mentioned, Shirley's is artificial. A way to kind of boost the look.
Or enhance it, maybe.
Exactly. Enhance the look of the tree and bring in that wonderful aroma of natural evergreens or green in general is go out into the woods or if you, in your case, you can go out into the woods. Some of us would go and buy some boughs and just get some little evergreen pieces and stick them in around your artificial fronds of your tree.
Hey, that's cool.
So you end up with a faux tree with real additions to it, like real natural. So you get the nice fragrance. And it also softens the tree, that plastic tree look.
Exactement.
Yeah, I just thought that was kind of cool.
Just glancing at our lines, pardon me, which are completely open right now.
Everybody's shopping.
Yeah.
Or they're not thinking about gardening anyway.
Well, yeah, that's true. A little suggestion for the phone numbers. Once again here in Toronto, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. And that is toll free. And maybe you know some folks have other tips that they'd like to pass along as you've done with that little note about, inserting some live boughs from
I do a live tree myself, which I did.
Yeah.
Happy to see I did decorate. Oh, I didn't show you a picture of my tree. I'll show you a picture afterwards.
Okay.
I can't say that there's thousands of lights on it, but, there's hundreds for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of things just to note for people that would like to get outside, which is a very good idea, getting outside, getting some fresh air, a little vitamin D. This weekend at the Royal Botanical Gardens, you can get out to see winter lights at the Rock. There's train displays, puppet shows, walks and hikes into nature, all kinds of things going on for, people to get out and enjoy the outdoors and obviously the gardens and see them in the winter, which is always quite beautiful. Gardens can be absolutely stunning in the winter. Remember, RBG is at 680 Plains Road West in Burlington. And of course, the Toronto Botanical Gardens also has things going on today and tomorrow, the third annual Foodie Holiday Market. It's in full swing. So it's artisanal food makers, sumptuous treats, and lots of delicious stocking stuffers or treats for your holiday party. So things you can take home, things you can eat on site. Mm-hmm. It is a $10 in advance or $15 at the door to go into the annual Foodie Holiday Market at the Toronto Botanical Gardens, 777 Lawrence Avenue East at Leslie.
Hey, great. Okay. Now, you've got a couple of emails there we could maybe deal
with. Well, before I get to email, I wanted to just send a thank you and a shout out to Betty Haylock. Remember last week?
Yes.
I forgot to mention this last week, but thank you, Betty. She sent a Christmas card and some photographs of us, you and us, you, me, and Betty. She was here at Open Doors. So Open Doors, everything was open. People were coming.
wandering through. Yeah,
well, I know. It's like we were in a fishbowl, like we were like you know zoo pieces or something. But I think also the TV museum was probably open as part of Open Doors, and that's a really cool thing. Moses has an amazing TV museum, so I think that that was fun too. So she might have been here seeing that. But thanks for the card. Appreciate
okay,
it.
Super. We're going to be coming back in just a moment to have a word with Nancy, first time caller here to the
nice.
Show, and you get ready, Nancy, for that ringing of the bell. I've got it all set to go here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, storks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Nancy in Etobicoke, first-time caller, get set to wear your garden wings. There you go. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Thanks for calling. Hello.
Yeah, hi.
What's going on at your place, Nancy?
Yeah, I don't know. My phone's, yeah.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello. Can you not hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Excellent. Go ahead. We can hear you.
I can pretty well grow anything, but why are the poinsettias these days so difficult with keeping their leaves on? I've done a lot of reading on them, and by the time Christmas comes, I throw mine out because all the leaves have fallen off it.
Really? The green leaves at the bottom? Or
the green leaves, and then it goes up to the red, you know, the red leaves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And every year it happens. Oh. And I get them from a reputable garden shop.
Yep.
And I've done, I mean, there's 7-8 things on the internet about, keeping their leaves, and I've done it all, and they still fall.
Hmm. Okay, so I can tell you some of the reasons that the leaves might drop. One is if that poinsettia has been exposed to cool temperatures or cold temperatures, particularly in transit,
mm-hmm.
they do not like that, and they will drop leaves. That's
right.
One reason. Another reason is if they have too much water and they're just sort of always damp, the lower leaves will tend to drop. And then if those leaves sit on the surface of the soil, we get some fungal disease happening and more leaves will drop. So be careful that you're not watering too often. Only wait until the surface of the soil feels dry to the touch before you water.
Okay.
Also, poinsettias can be wrapped in decorative sort of plastic packaging,
mm-hmm.
and that can contribute, to that sort of too much moisture.
Humidity almost?
Well, yeah, it does, the humidity's not a bad thing, but it's the humidity down at the bottom of the pot there at soil level.
Mm-hmm.
If there's too much watering going on and there's all this trapping of all that moisture with all this plastic wrapping, that can also be a bit of a problem. So take it out of the plastic wrap if it's got that on and get some air circulation going around the plant in an effort to hold those leaves, which is not to say don't water, but, feel the soil before you water and avoid drafts. Make sure it gets a bit of light. Nice to get some light on it as well.
Mm-hmm. I've done all of the above, so
yeah.
We'll see with this one what happens. It's still dropping its leaves.
Yeah, really.
And I bought it back in November in the warm weather, so.
Right, yeah.
Well, give us a call next week and let us know if the things have improved any at all.
But it's interesting, Nancy, because one of my students, I'm teaching at Durham College right now, students said to me this past week, he said, how come my poinsettia is dropping its leaves? And I went through this whole thing and he goes, we bought this poinsettia at a different place. Always in the past, we bought at one location. Poinsettias were great. This year, we bought a different place, and the leaves just keep dropping off. So so you were saying, reputable, and for sure, there are some growers who are better than others at growing varieties that hold their leaves, because there are different varieties that are grown.
Okay, well, I'm nursing this one, and I put it close to a west wind window, but you have to be careful with the draft,
that's right,
too.
So. Yeah, no hot,
anyway,
no cold.
We'll struggle on and baby it. But I just wondered, because years ago, my mother would have a poinsettia for months into March, April, and then we're not putting it in the dark room for however you do it, buy a new one. But anyway, okay, thanks very much for your information, and you two have a good day.
Oh, thank you very much.
I listen to you all the time.
Great. Well, thanks for calling.
Merry Christmas to you.
Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, absolutely. Judicious watering, I guess, is what we get.
That's a very good term. I'm going to write that down.
All right.
Judicious watering.
Wow. Look at me, Mr. Gardner.
I was going to say, you can answer that. You're the nematode guy and the judicious watering guy.
I want to give out the phone numbers here. Toronto, all righty, give a call to 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-744-740. And wouldn't you know it, we've got another first-time caller online. Just a minute. Hey, Donna in Hamilton, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I enjoy your show immensely.
Thank you.
I have a problem with an orchid.
Uh-huh.
I've had it for 3 years. Two of the stalks have now turned brown, and one is still green with two flowers that are just finishing. Uh-huh. It's been flowering for 3 years.
Great.
Hmm.
So that it does, most plants do need a break on occasion, so they will take a period where they're not flowering. When the flower stalk is brown all the way down to the leaves, right to the bottom, get out your little scissors and remove it. Cut that right out. If the flower stalk is still green, leave the green. You can always trim off the brown and let it just go through this little process. Orchids love fertilizer. So what I would do is just do your regular watering. You've been doing fine, obviously, for 3 years. It's doing well. Let's get through this sort of Christmas, the dark days, you know, the shortest day of the year is coming, and let's get into longer days. So, you know, say 4 or 5 weeks from now, consider fertilizing with an orchid fertilizer as per the instructions on the container that you choose to buy, and start regular water. When you water, consider fertilizing like every sort of 3-4 weeks, and you'll find it'll be back in flower pretty quick.
Okay, so you would stop, you wouldn't fertilize all the time then, like my husband puts a little bit in every watering.
Yeah, so that is an idea, that's a concept. Many of the growers do that, actually. Every time they water, there's fertilizer in there. But it's a very, very low dose of fertilizer. And unless you're really being careful and doing a certain amount of chemistry along the way, there is a possibility of over-fertilizing.
Yeah, killing with fertilize. Kindness.
Too much. Because remember, fertilizer is a salt. And you can get salt buildup around the roots, and then the roots start to suffer. And then, of course, there's no absorption of moisture whatsoever if the roots get all shriveled up due to salt toxicity. So that's why I'm a little hesitant to recommend all the time fertilizing. But certainly, you know, I'm a big fan of following the instructions on whatever it says on the package. And I fertilize my orchids once every sort of 3 or 4 months. And they're typically always in flower doing it that way. So, you know, it's one of those, you know, one of those things. But fertilizer is important to really get the flowers going.
All right, so I'll stop and wait for about at least 5 weeks.
Wait till the end of January before you do any fertilizing, but water, obviously, in the meantime, as you need to.
Okay. Thank you very much, and Merry Christmas and to both of you.
Well, thank you so very much, Donna. Take care of things in Hamilton for us.
Yeah.
Okay?
We'll try.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so very much. You are listening to The Garden Show here from Zoomer Radio. And that, of course, is AM 740 and 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto. Maybe just before we take another call, you want to deal with an email there hot in hand?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a good one. Hold on. I've got a couple here, but this is it. But how did I do this? How did I do this? Well, I guess I just
we're
the
tap
order.
Dancing our way
the
through
the order in which. Okay, so this is from Sheila Mitchell.
All right,
I love this. So, hi Charlie. When dealing with insects on a plant, this is a tip. Okay, when dealing with insects on a plant, I use the vacuum first to try to take away most of the flying insects. Turn it off and let them settle again. Knock the pot with the spout of the vacuum and suck them up again. It does help to get rid of most of the active insects. Then you can wash the plant and carry on with whatever you were going to do. And then she says, yours in gardening, Sheila. So I thought that was great. Good tip.
Hey, that's a dandy tip.
Because we've certainly had people
call. The white flies and stuff like that.
Yeah. Get that vacuum ready. The vacuum is your friend when you're on pest control.
All righty. We're going out to Scarborough, Charlie, and say hi to Wanda. Good morning, Wanda. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning.
Thank you for all your good tips. It's interesting. The lady was talking about the poinsettias, and I have one that's still from last year.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And it has two red leaves on it.
Uh-huh.
And what I was told to do by a lady that works in the florist, she dunks it, the whole plant, in water over the top, and then she drains it and doesn't do it again for another week. And I, my call today is regarding the Christmas cacti. I have two pots. One of them only has two blooms coming, and the other has nothing. And they're in a north window, north bay window.
That's why. So Christmas cactus, two things. They respond to, obviously, as much light as you can give them. Now, if a northern bay window is your brightest light, then that's fine. Are there shears on that or any covering on the, that window?
Well, at night, I just draw the drapes a little bit.
Okay. All right. So, but during the day, it's open to the sunshine. So
that's right.
That's good. And the other thing that limits Christmas cactus is temperature. So that, that's why I'm such a big fan of putting them outside in the summer and then leaving them outside in the fall, right up until, you know, middle or end of October. And when you bring them in at that point, they will have responded to the shorter days and the cooler temperatures, and they're covered in buds and ready to flower. Now, of course, they'll often flower before Christmas, because when we bring them in, they'll just start, you know, the buds will start to grow, and before you know it, you're in full flower, and it's still early December. But
I was going to mention, I don't put them out; I just leave them.
Well, and your home is warm. Obviously, it's your furnace is on, and that's probably what's going on to some extent. So it's light and temperature are the two things, and I guess the third thing is, be careful with your watering. Let it dry right out between waterings, the Christmas cactus. Like, it's got to be more than just dry on the surface. It's got to be dry below the surface of the soil, too.
Somebody told me that if you pinch the leaves on the ends of them, that that'll help them to form flowers.
That I'm not so sure of. We do sometimes use sort of a pinching to prune the plant, to shape the plant, to remove some of those extra little segments, because there is a tendency for Christmas cactus to get one-sided if we're not constantly turning the plant. They get a little lopsided. So it can be quite a good way to remove some of those leaves, is literally by just breaking off those little segments. Will that promote flowering? Not that I know of, but some plants do respond to stress. So it's interesting how, you know, stressing a plant will often, suddenly it'll start flowering if it feels like it's under undue stress. We say that it's worried it might die. It's an anthropomorphic idea that the poor plant thinks it's going to die so quickly it has to flower. So, but is that really the case? I'm not sure, but certainly many plants, like I say, do flower more quickly and more, you know, effectively when they're stressed to do so.
I think so, I may be overwatering because I give it a little drink every few days.
Yeah, don't do that. Give it a very, very thorough drink, however water that might be, but only do that about every 2 weeks.
It's a real good saturation. Too much water.
Yeah, a lot of times people do that. The little tiny dribble, because they're worried they don't want to overwater, but a little tiny dribble, like, all the time.
Yes,
so
that's what I do.
That's too frequent. So lower the frequency, increase the volume when it comes to water, okay?
Okay, I will try that.
Excellent.
Thank you very much. I enjoy your program.
Thanks, Wanda.
Thank you, Wanda.
Merry Christmas.
And
you
the same
too.
To you and yours.
Thank you.
Nice
Bye-bye.
To have you with us here on a Saturday morning. A little cloudy out there. And, oh, just noticed our operator, Sebastian, has just put up a little note, which I really appreciate. It says, Rick from White River called and just wanted to say happy holidays. I'd love to have you call in, Rick.
Well,
we
Rick,
want to find out what's going on up there in White River.
In White River, where it is 30 degrees below zero.
Yeah, and you keep copious notes.
I do. Well, yeah. I was looking back and I said, you know, Rick called in this day last year.
Yeah.
And he also called in on Christmas Eve. He was asking about orchids and pansies and various other things last December. And then we haven't heard from him in months. So I was like, good to know. He's still gardening and he's still holding up in that 30 degree
below
zero.
Get on the
weather.
Blower. We want to talk to you.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're just a bit lonely because we're not getting a lot of calls today. But, you know, I do have email if I have to.
And I
can always entertain each other.
There is always Gord in Niagara Falls
True.
We can turn to.
True.
Which we're going to do right now. Hey, Gord, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Morning. Welcome to the show.
I have a question about a Rose of Sharon bush.
Uh-huh.
One part of the bush was the beautiful purple,
uh-huh.
and part of it was a pure white one.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
And so 2 years ago, I dug up part of the white one, and it was growing separately from the purple one.
Yes.
So I transplanted it to pretty good soil, and the white one's not doing so well. That's 2 years ago.
Oh, it misses the purple one. It liked being with its buddy, obviously. It liked being with its buddy, the purple one. They were like Siamese twins or something, almost.
Yeah, it buds, but it's not growing.
Okay, so is it in same kind of sunshine that it was in when it was near the purple one?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but remember when you dug it out, you would have done some damage to the roots. That happens, right? I'm sure the roots were somewhat entangled with the purple one anyway. So there would have been some damage done. And so 2 years isn't that long to say to yourself, you know, this isn't doing well. When a plant isn't doing amazing above ground and we've just transplanted it, keep in mind that the energy is going below ground. And that's where it should be, right? We do want a good, vigorous, healthy root system in order to have the same thing above.
Yeah, when I dug it up, the root system looked very good.
Yeah, good. Well,
I transplanted into an old rose of Sharon bush that died off from the severe winter. I think we had 6-7 years ago, and that part of it didn't want to grow at all. So I dug it up in early spring and transplanted this one.
Right, thinking you would,
and
fill
it's
that
not
spot.
Doing so well.
Huh. And like you said, you amended the soil before you, from where the old one had been and come out, you amended the soil before
yes,
you put the new
did,
one in.
Yes, part of that too.
Okay. And of
course, it's not doing so well.
Two summers ago.
Is there
ago,
any kind of fertilizer that I can put in just to get it started in the early springtime?
Sure. I mean, good time to fertilize all our garden plants is in the spring. Now, that's a flowering plant, so I would be fertilizing with a flowering plant fertilizer, something like a 15-30-15. Same thing you would use on your hanging baskets and, you know, your flowers that you have in the garden. And again, as per directions, also consider doing some pruning for shape. Look for the, you know, removing any dead wood in the spring on the Rose of Sharon, any branches that rub together, you know, just give it a little bit of a perkiness. Even just cutting it back, a little tip cut back, will also force out fresh growth.
Mm-hmm.
So consider that as well when you're doing that fertilizing in the early spring. They are so late to bud out and to leaf out that you can do your pruning very easily after everything else is flowering. The Rose of Sharon is still asleep. So it gives you a good chance to prune, fertilize as it's waking up.
Oh, okay, I will do that.
Yeah.
Oh, Gord, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks. I listen to your program during the week, too.
Well, that's cool.
The radio station?
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's great. Hey, that's nice.
Great music, man.
I'll pass that along to Neil Headley, our head honcho here. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Gord.
Yeah, and we have to take a little bit of a break here. We're about anxious to come back and say hi to Gloria, just around the corner here in Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
Heavens only knows. And let me just quickly repeat the phone numbers for those of you who might be tuning in for the first time. You're listening to The Garden Show here on Zoomer Radio, and your host is Charlie Dobbin, Master Gardener. To reach her in Toronto, call 416-360-0740. And toll-free, of course, anywhere in the province, 1-866-740-4740. And since we've been dealing with an email or two, her email address is very simple, c.dobbin, that's D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. Back to say hi to Gloria in just a couple of moments here on Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden, Frankie Proctor, saying good morning and welcome to the show, Gloria. Hello,
Frank and Charlie.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, I was the first caller the last time I called you, but I didn't mention it, so.
Need your bell.
Yeah,
and
just
wings.
A minute. Just.
There you go.
I get fired if I don't do that properly.
Well, but that's important. You need those garden wings.
Anyhow, I have a question about a Christmas cactus. Mine has flowered too early.
Mm-hmm.
It came out about 2 weeks ago, and now the flowers are starting to
shrivel up.
Shrivel up a little bit,
but you know what? It may flower some more. Once it starts to set buds, quite often the Christmas cactus will set more. You could, if you wish, fertilize it.
Fertilizer, yeah, okay.
Which, you know, follow the instructions on the fertilizer package. Again, it's a flowering plant fertilizer, but do not do any fertilizing if it's, you know, wait till that soil dries right down before you do any water with fertilizer.
Because I water my cactus about every second week.
Right. So when you're due to do that next watering, you might want to incorporate some fertilizer into the water.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way it works is that if a plant is actively growing, and in the case of the Christmas cactus, they are actively growing, they're actively flowering, mm-hmm. a lot of energy goes into the creation of those flowers. So fertilizing now supports that flowering process and potentially the growth of more flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, but it's when plants are slowing down and not growing a lot that we don't fertilize them. We don't try and force them into growth. But clearly the Christmas cactus are actively growing at this time of year.
So I shouldn't fertilize, let's say Christmas is the 25th, so I should start fertilizing maybe 2 weeks before Christmas?
Well, so
to get the flowers to come out?
Well, oh, I see what you mean. Well, the flowers came out probably because of shorter days.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had, did you have the plant outside in the summer?
No, I never put it outside.
Okay. So, I mean, the Christmas cactus responds to two things, shorter days and cooler temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even when we didn't put our plants outside, most of us have our furnaces cool off at night so that mm-hmm. the temperature drops inside our homes.
Yes, it does.
At night compared to the day when we have the higher temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably the plant is responding to those temperature differences in your home and the shorter days. And it, you know, provided all those flowers a little bit early. The only way, if you really want your Christmas cactus to flower for Christmas, is wait until you see those buds starting to form, and then, assuming you can do this, put it in a cool spot. Slow down the flower maturity of the flowers by cooling and keeping the plant cool. So, you know,
does it have to be in a dark room?
No, no. Well, bright is better. You
want
want it to be still growing and photosynthesizing, but you want to slow down that flowering process. Mm-hmm. And only
my window where it is an east exposure, mm-hmm. and of course it's east north.
Right. Yeah, and right in the window is nice because that's cooler again.
It is cool, but, and it doesn't get very much light. I have a huge tree on my front lawn.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it sounds like it's doing all right, and partially because you're probably not overwatering it.
No.
But, yeah, no, in a perfect world, all of us would have, like, a bedroom that we don't use, and we could just keep it, you know, 50, 55 degrees even, you know, 60, and we could keep plants in there and hold them, like,
hold
in stasis, if you will, and then keep it there until, like, 3 days before Christmas, bring out the Christmas cactus, and there it is in full bloom for Christmas. but, you know, not all of us have that perfect room to put things in like that. But that's what you would do for flowers for Christmas Day.
Okay. I'll try next year. Will this flower again? It's just dying off now.
It will. It's likely to. They often do.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Just carry on with what you're doing, but just crank a little fertilizer next time you water.
Okay. Thank you so much, Charlie, and wishing you both a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you, Gloria. We appreciate that.
Thank you, and to you as well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Hey, great Saturday morning. A lot of very friendly folks calling in. Well, it's just happy time of year, is it not?
I guess, yeah. Well unless you're writing exams like my kids.
Oh,
they're not so happy.
And you've got to mark them.
No, I'm talking my children have writing exams.
Oh.
But then there's your, not to mention, then there's my students. Yes,
yeah, yeah.
I know. You're telling me.
Hey, Jose in Toronto, welcome to the show. And you are a first-time caller.
Wow, yes, indeed. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, nice to have you with us.
Yeah. I have a question for Charlie. I inherited a Japanese quince.
Yes.
We just moved in last year, and I haven't touched it. I haven't done anything to it. I just don't know how to approach it, what to do with it. It's quite big. It's actually about 8 foot tall.
Yeah, and 8 feet wide.
It's beautiful. I don't want to cut it or anything. I want to look more for a shape to it. Mm-hmm. I want to sort of keep it a nice shape in the garden. And I also want to know, how do I make it produce any fruit? I love the look of the fruit on the tree.
Okay.
And sort of any tips and how to prune it, when to prune it.
Sure. So when I imagine it's a shrub. It's multi stems from the base, right? It's not a single stem like a tree, is it?
Yes, it's more of a shrub.
Yeah.
There are a lot of mature branches on it.
It's fairly old at that size. It's a good 25, 30 years old, probably.
Yeah. It's beautiful, and it just keeps producing all these suckers on the bottom.
Right.
And it keeps spreading out and spreading out, and I want to keep it sort of nice and tidy.
Yeah. Okay, so this is a good question. A Japanese quince, for people that aren't familiar with the plant, is a very early spring blooming plant. Some are red flowers, and some are more of almost a peachy salmon color. But either way, they're very, very beautiful in the spring. And the flowers are formed, typically on the new wood. So the flowers will grow on last year's growth. So... And then also it kind of depends on the weather and how cold it is, because the flower buds are formed, like they're there now. They're formed in the fall. They will open in the spring. At the same time, the leaves will be coming out. And the leaves are shiny, green, oval leaves, very nice, good-looking leaves. Then we often will get a bit of fall color on those leaves. We'll get a bit of a burgundy. Meanwhile, where the flowers were, if pollination took place, quince will grow, quince fruit. And of course, you can make quince jams, quince jellies, and that sort of thing. You mentioned suckering. If you know and you see suckers coming from below ground near the plant or a foot away from the plant, wherever it is, certainly dig those up and remove them or give them to a friend. When you dig up, there's root attached, but you want to get those out of there. You don't want to allow this one single plant to turn into a massive hedge or whatever it wants to turn into. Trimming takes place right after the flowering. So the trimming would be likely late May, depending on when the flowering is finished. Properly, we trim by removing the oldest growth from the bottom. But if it's that old of a plant, likely what you're going to want to do is just trim for shape. You're going to look for any branches that are dead, any diseased branches, and any rubbing together damaged dead material. So you'll go look very closely in the spring, remove all that. And you can even do that before the leaves come out, because you can see at that point the difference between dead wood and live wood and damaged wood. So that's cleanly removed. And then, like I say, it's more of a pruning for shape. And it's probably providing a lovely screen in your garden of perhaps the neighbors or something. So you like that size, maintain it, but just do some tidying up along the way. All righty?
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jose.
Nice of you to join us here on a Saturday morning. We're going to have to take a little break here, but I'm really anxious to come back and have you talk to Chris in Dunnville, who has a wild – well, I'll let him explain what he's going to suggest to you. And that follows these words on Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And there's our resident poet, of course, Paul Stringer. Just a great guy.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris in Dunnville. Tell Charlie the reason that I'm kind of giggling.
Good morning, Chris.
Here.
Good morning. How are we doing today? Good.
Excellent. Frank's getting a real giggle based on what we know here. So go ahead.
Yeah, well, no, this was a tree grower that sells Christmas trees.
Yep.
And he recommended you use ginger ale.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to know what the compound is. Actually, I seen him on TV, and he was talking about different things. And he said, put ginger ale in. He said, cut the butt.
Yes.
Yep.
He said, cut the butt off half an hour before you're going to put it in the stand, because it'll callus over.
Okay.
Right? And then he turned around and said, drill holes in it. I've done that for years.
Okay.
But he said to use ginger ale.
Yes.
Now, can you tell me why that would keep it longer?
It's the sugar. It's the carbohydrate, which is the sugar. So what that is it's...
See, we used to use sugar and water.
Right. So
same difference.
It's just exactly. So, but not straight ginger ale. So it's just ginger ale with your water in with the tree. Should prolong its, number one, holding its needles, and also its color. Because it's just, you're going to be truly feeding the plant off of what would have come from the root, basically, is that sugar, because that's what photosynthesis produces, is carbohydrates.
Yeah, so basically sugar and water, what we've been using for years,
exactly,
is the same.
Yeah, and it's often with cut flour, same thing. You know, you put that little preservative in with cut flours. It's just it's a form of sugar. There's also usually a little bit of an antifungal agent in there, just to avoid algae and that sort of thing, which also will speed up.
Yeah, but what I got
demise.
A kick out of too, Charlie, was the fact that he said, when you're going to put it in the stand, cut it and put it in the stand within half an hour so it doesn't start callusing over.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because it won't be able to
absorb.
Imbibe the moisture if it's got if it's all dried out on the stump, which is why we do the fresh cut.
Well, I always cut it, but sometimes. Yeah. You know, it takes a couple hours before you get it in the house.
Well, then you just wait, and you cut it just before you bring it in.
Well, no, but that was the interesting thing that he said.
Yeah.
Cut it and make sure you get it in water and in your stand within half an hour.
That's right. Yeah, I usually just have a pail of water outside so that when I do the cut, it sits in the pail of water in between setting up the stand, moving the furniture, and doing all that before the tree comes in. It's in a pail of water.
Well, I've only had live trees for about 45 years, and that's the first I heard about the half hour deal. So I learned something.
There you go. We can all keep learning. There's no question.
So you're not off your nut. That's the main thing, Chris. It does make sense.
Good tip.
Yeah.
Good tip. Ginger ale and half an hour from cut to water. There you go.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
Yeah, thank you.
Merry Christmas to you and yours in Dunville.
Yes, indeed.
And, Colleen, we're just about. I don't know whether we've got time for one more.
No, we don't.
No,
we don't. We've been told.
We don't. Okay.
So, but yes, indeed. So we've got things going on. Of course, it's Hanukkah, Lutkas tomorrow. I'm off to enjoy a brunch with the family, Elliot's side of the family. And then, of course, we call it Chrismica at our place because we've got the menorah going on and the Christmas tree.
Wow, you've got it all covered, haven't you?
We do.
Yeah.
The kids were so cute when they were little because they always felt like they got twice as many events as anybody else, right? Twice as many good meals and, you know, not that they got twice as many presents, but they always felt special that they had the sort of two big events.
Well, that's wonderful. So happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas to
absolutely.
One and all. Well, but hey, we're going to be on the air next week.
We are.
Just before the big night when Santa arrives.
That's right.
So
hopefully people be thinking about your gardening and be ready to call in next Saturday.
Absolutely.
There's no holidays for us.
A lot of fun calls this morning, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you're here this afternoon?
I should be back between 1:30 and 3:30 with all sorts of goodies, including a new Christmas song that I just love it. So darn cute. Zoe Adams and Tony Quarrington, fine guitar player, have written and recorded, and I'm going to be doing that about 3:15 this afternoon.
And it's a good song, isn't it?
It's a dandy.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like good Christmas music. I always have Christmas music going when I'm decorating my tree. All righty. Well, thank you so much, Sebastian. Couldn't do it without you at all.
You got it,
the great callers. I know people are busy with decorating and shopping and wrapping and all that, so thank you. Nice to hear from people. And also, next week, let's talk a little bit about some of the good books I've read seen this year.
Sure.
All right. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.